Welcome to Sarah Talk, LGBT positive talk radio. I'm Sarah Austin.
And I'm Andy Imus.
And for those of you just joining us for the first time, I would describe myself as an early in transition transgender female. And there are a lot of different words in the lexicon around the gender identity spectrum. Mm-hmm. So today we're going to talk a little bit about the gender nonconforming or non-binary necessarily. I think the easiest way to explain that is that And again, everyone kind of has their own definition of some of these words.
Right, but absolutely.
I would describe transgender as very kind of clear one or the other, going from one to another, where gender nonconforming people tend to still identify as the sex assigned at birth, but display characteristics and interests typically assigned by society to the opposite gender. Gender neutral is kind of a person that feels neither male or female, or that it just doesn't matter to them in their everyday lives. The best way to explore this topic is with someone who is directly experiencing it, of course. And so we have Morgan on the line with us, who is navigating this road with her daughter. Morgan, welcome to Sarah Talk, and thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So we wanted to talk with you a little bit about your daughter. How old is your daughter?
She's five.
5 years old. I have a five-year-old as well, so we can commiserate
fun
over
age.
Over 5 years. Oh, absolutely. We've been having troubles in school with behavior and, you know, going down the whole ADD route and all of that. So
okay. Yeah. I have a negotiator. Mm. She likes to negotiate terms on everything.
That's awesome. a future lawyer, maybe.
Quite possibly, yes. I told her she should join debate in high school.
Yep.
She said, what's debate and what's high school?
Absolutely.
So how would you describe Anna to us? Is she gender nonconforming? Is that an appropriate term?
Yes, I'd say that's probably very appropriate. She, you can even, if you bring up princesses, which a lot of people do, and she'll just look at them and be like, I'm not really into princesses. It's just like, I'm more of a ninja girl. She'll say stuff like that. She rocks a mohawk.
Awesome.
She started that about a year ago. I'd say I think we chopped off 8 inches a little over a year.
Wow.
Not quite a year ago. I guess it was January. We chopped off 8 inches and donated it. Like I said, she's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Avengers, you know, everything.
Excited for the new Star Wars movie?
I'm not really into Star Wars. She's not real familiar with it, but she loves Chewbacca.
Oh, there you go. That's great.
Well, my brother's totally into it, so he's like, okay, we're going to sit down and I'm going to introduce her to Star Wars.
Yeah.
That's cool. Go for it.
Yeah, my son absolutely loves Star Wars.
But the Avengers are awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in love with Robert Downey Jr.
Good person.
Mostly as Iron Man, but she just loved him in every role. She doesn't care. She just loved him.
That's awesome. So when did you kind of start to see that Anna was starting to be a little gender nonconforming? Did it just happen like a year ago, or has it been kind of an ongoing?
No, as far as her interests, it has been that way, I'd say, since she was probably like 2 and a half, maybe 3. Mm-hmm. She started really taking an interest in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which of course came out when I was a kid. So I was like, awesome, let's do this. And it just kind of continued from there. You know, she liked cars and trains, and she never liked dolls and stuffies. And to me, it's always been, what does it matter?
Right.
You know, I'll hear, and at one point she'd be like, well, I can't like that. That's not boy.
Oh.
She likes boy things.
Yes.
And she'll go, well, that's not boy. And I'll be like, well, does it have a penis or a vagina? She'll be like, no. And I'm like, well, then it's not boy or girl. I said, it's for whoever.
Right.
Like, things don't have genders, so they're not, it's all society driven.
Yep.
So I try to kind of go that route from it. And she's doing pretty good with it. And I've always let her do that. And her dad's always been very supportive of that as well. And then when she was about 4, she started picking out boy clothes, which I was fine with. Like, whatever. Again, same thing. Doesn't matter to me. And she wanted to cut her hair off. And I had a issue with it initially. She was born like pretty bald. So I spent the last, 4 years growing her hair out. And I didn't really want to cut it off. I wasn't to terms with it, but it became a daily struggle. Mm. I mean, we fought about doing her hair every day.
Right.
And one day it just dawned on me. I'm like, if she were 14 and wanted to chop her hair off, this is not a battle I would pick.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. At 14, there's so many bigger issues going on. Hair is the last thing I would care about. So why am I caring about it now?
Absolutely.
So I said, all right, let's talk to your dad and we'll see if he's okay with you cutting it off. And he said, yeah. He's like, it's just hair. So we started out with a cute pixie cut and she was still unhappy with it. So finally I'm like, whatever, like you pick whatever you want. We'll go with your next haircut and we'll have Jen just chop it all off, whatever you want. Because I want a mohawk. I'm like, all right.
We'll go mohawk. And how did people at school accept her? Has she been having issues or is it just that 5-year-olds don't really care?
No, they don't really care.
Which is awesome. I love to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
I have found that, you know, we have some older relatives that, you know, nobody has really said anything directly, but, you know, there's little comments made on the slide. Nothing too offensive, but you can tell they question,
mm-hmm.
you know, what is happening. And, you know, and she is now at a point because I have relinquished all control as to what her hair looks like, how she dresses, you know. So primarily she shops in the boys section. She does periodically pick girl things. So, I mean, to look at her, people mistake her for a boy. And she enjoys that for the most part. She wants to be a boy, she says, but mm-hmm. goes kind of back and forth. You know, some days she'll be like, Mama, can you tell them that I'm a girl? I'm like, well, no, you have a voice. You may use it. You may tell them that if you're not comfortable with it. And she'll be like, okay. And so some days she'll be like, well, actually, I'm a girl. My name's Anna. And some days they'll call her a boy. And she just smiles at me like, ooh, they think I'm a boy.
That's awesome. I absolutely love that.
I just roll with it.
Yeah. You know? That would be hard for a lot of parents. So, I mean, I commend you that's a hard thing to roll with, I think, for the older generation.
Mm-hmm.
As the generations, it's rude to say, but die off,
yeah.
It becomes more accepting.
Yeah.
But I can still see as a parent that it would be a little challenging.
Yeah, a lot of parents come into it, you know, parenthood with this vision of, you know, what I want my kids to mm-hmm. do and be like and follow in my footsteps. And, you know, the father that played sports his whole, you know, in high school. And so I really want to have a son that will play high school football and be the quarterback like I was. Mm-hmm. And then when it doesn't work out that way.
Yep.
A lot of parents just don't know how to process that.
Was it a hard thing?
Well, and there was a little bit of that for me, but it was mostly just because, you know, I wanted the little girl with pigtails and it took me forever to grow her hair out. And so it took me a little bit to get there. But when I really stopped and thought about, you know, 10 years down the road, 20 years down the road, you know, what do I want her to get out of this? And especially as a female, as a woman, and, you know, how hard we are on ourselves, how hard society is on ourselves, you know, on us. I want her to accept herself. And how can I expect her to accept herself as is if I don't do it?
Right.
If I fight with her on something as simple as hair. And hair and clothes, who cares?
Yeah.
So if I really want her to accept herself, I need to accept her.
You know, that was one of the things I struggled with in my own transition that really, I guess, maybe kind of helped push me towards, all right, you're being an idiot, let's do this, was having kids. And how can I justify to myself that I can sit down in bed at night with my kids and tell them, you can be anything you want to be, and yet I'm not living it?
Yep.
No, that is a really good point.
I think that that is the best thing that ever happened to my self-esteem as a woman was having a child.
Mm-hmm.
Because every day I have to get up and I have to be the kind of person I want her to be. You can talk the talk, but you have to walk the walk.
Right.
Because kids, they don't listen very well, but they never fail to imitate.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. That is a really good point.
So one of the other things, you know, that I've noticed kind of seeing stories pop up in the news and with different parents of gender nonconforming kids is, and people who are, you know, deeply against these parents allowing their children to kind of explore their own identities at that such a young age, they'll say, well, they're only 3. How could they possibly know anything about who they are or about gender? You and I both know, of course, that that's just absurd. Like the amount of knowledge that
right.
children have at that age is pretty astounding. They're very self-aware.
And, it is.
And everybody comes to this in their own kind of way. And the stories are all different of when people discover this about themselves. And, you know, some it is very young and then some it's not until later in life that they come to this. And so I think one of the important pieces of the conversation is that people hear that there's not a cookie cutter way to be a gender nonconforming person. Like we're all very different, just as anyone in the population is very different.
You know, as a parent, I can't decide who my child's going to be.
Right.
That's not my job. That's for her. My job is to give my child the comfort, security, and confidence to explore who they are. And that continues. I mean, none of us like the same thing we did a year ago in some circumstances.
Absolutely.
You know, things can change quickly. And, you know, the best way to do that, I think, is to give them a safe environment
yes.
where they can explore that.
And there are so many stories of children who were not given that environment. And
yeah.
all it does, you're fighting against what's natural to them, puts them into depression and anxiety, and your child's acting out and getting in trouble, and it's just
yeah.
not a good situation.
You know, and it's down the road, you know, Anna decides that, you know, she's transgender. You know, there's a very large percentage that try to kill themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that for my child. I don't want her to feel like at any point that she is not acceptable enough to live her life.
Yeah.
That she, you know, that's not a future I want for her. You know, whatever it is, I just want her to know that it's okay.
I just want to like duplicate you and put you all over the world so that everyone knows and understands the same things that you were saying. Because that's one of the biggest messages that we're trying to get across is to just accept people and love people for who they are, no matter what gender or what race or what they look like.
Yep.
You know, it's all the inside that counts.
Yep. And
yep.
And having that that open-mindedness for the future
mm-hmm.
is really important, right? So a lot of parents want to go into these situations hoping that it's a phase and it'll go away and, you know, maybe when hormones start raging that it'll just disappear. But to have prepared yourself for all of those possible outcomes that, you know, this may be the way it is forever. It may change
yep.
in 10 million different possibilities of, you know, and between here
yep.
and there, you're right? So to have that, that's impressive to me, to have that flexibility. And
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure it's not easy, but I do think it's very important.
It's not too hard. You know, I think about all those different things. And ultimately, what do I want for my child?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Be happy. And that's it. I don't get to decide how they're happy or what makes them happy. I just need to make sure that I'm happy and okay with myself so that she can see that
right.
and be okay with herself.
So I know that you said that you hear some snickering and some different things that other family members or friends have said. Have you addressed any of those, or you just kind of brushed them off and acted like they weren't?
At this point, I just kind of just let them go. I don't really say anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a family member that I had, you know, the time hop. We all have it.
Right.
You know, it popped up and it shows like a year ago, 2 years ago, and, you know, doing Anna's hair in different ways. And I go, oh, I miss her long hair. I was like, well, talk her into growing it back out. No, it's not my hair.
Yeah.
Why would I talk her into it? I'm growing my hair out because I like long hair.
Right.
I'm not going to talk her into it.
Especially
so
for somebody else's needs.
At this point in the road, it's just not a battle worth fighting because she's five and it's just hair and clothes. Now, down the road, if there is a transition and we do make that shift, I do realize that there's going to come a point where I'm going to have to cut family members or friends off
mm-hmm.
because they're not going to be supportive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be hard enough as is. It's a hard enough transition in and of itself
yep.
with simply going through it with yourself. So the last thing I'm going to do is allow somebody to inflict more negativity into that process. So if it gets to that point, you know, I've already kind of come to terms with that there's going to be people that will be exiting our lives at that point.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Your daughter comes first, and that's...
Mm-hmm.
Our relationships are all ever-changing and ever-evolving.
Absolutely.
And, you know, at the end of the day, you have to take a look at what is best for your family in the moment. Sometimes we have to reevaluate friendships and
mm-hmm.
relationships
mm-hmm.
and go, you know, perhaps the work isn't quite worth the reward anymore.
Right.
I haven't seen her dad since I was maybe like five. It's been a long time. But is he okay with this moving forward as well?
You know, it's not something we really have openly discussed.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really know. He hasn't brought any concerns to me. So I guess until he feels like he wants to talk about it, I'm not going to bother with it. And at this point, there's, again, like I said, she's five and it's just hair and clothes right now.
Right.
So I guess until there becomes a more consistent and insistency mm-hmm. about it. It's not a conversation I'm going to force him to have.
Right.
You know, if it gets to a point where she's adamant about a bigger change or, you know, needing something more than what is right now, then that's a conversation we'll have. And to be honest, I don't know where that's going to go with him.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's kind of self-defeating to have a conversation about something that may not even pan out
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Exactly.
Take it as it comes, roll with the punches.
Exactly. You know, day by day. Yep. So until she's a little more insistent and consistent with it.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to have those conversations, you know, but I've had, you know, friends ask that, what if this does go to that next step? I'm like, mm-hmm. then it does.
Right.
I'd rather do it sooner than later.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would rather
absolutely.
Have it happen earlier in life than later in life.
And in that supportive environment. And yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So I know that you're also really big into LGBT issues. How did you get involved in that?
I've always just been very pro equality.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was in high school, my younger brother let us know that he's gay. So it kind of started there with it really meaning more. And just, you know, as you get older and you start to educate yourself more on things, you mm-hmm. know, when you're a teenager and, you know, early 20s, it's pretty easy to live in your own little bubble and not realize the struggles that people around you face, you know, especially with that or racial issues or economic issues when, you know, kind of live in a little white middle-class city, you know, you don't
yep.
realize, you know, you don't realize that there's a lot more going on around you. So that was kind of the first step. But as I've just gotten older and just educating myself and realizing all the inequalities that occur, you know,
the
I'm very
goes
much a feminist
on and on,
as well.
And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. It just, it does. And I just want equal opportunities for everybody. One of the big things that I always say is somebody would be like another day, another dollar. And I'm like, yeah, if you're a man, you're a woman, it's another day, another 50 cents, maybe 75 cents.
Yep.
Right.
You know, women are still paid less. You know, there's just inequalities everywhere, and it's ridiculous.
Absolutely.
And having Anna was definitely a major turning point for me, is having a child and realizing the world that they're growing up in and what kind of person I want her to be, not necessarily in her likes and dislikes, but just acceptance, mm-hmm. you know, loving. You know, love can't fix everything, but it's a really good place to start. Wanting her to be that bigger, better person, to be the change I want to see in the world. I want to be that, and I want to raise my daughter to be the change that she wants to see in the world as
mm-hmm.
well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd say definitely the passion part of it really kind of came into play with having her.
Yeah, I would agree. Having kids kind of stoked that fire of what kind of future are we leaving for our kids? And that's when I got
yep.
into kind of the environmentalist. You know, I want to put solar panels on everything with a flat surface. And the recycling thing drives me absolutely batty. The place that I had worked for like the past 8 years, under every desk is a blue paper recycling bin. And then the custodian comes through with one
just
bucket and gets the trash and the paper and puts it all into the same thing. And
they'll
like, why are we even bothering?
All at once.
Yes.
And it's funny with the recycling too. Like, that's one of my big things. One company I worked at, we went through so much stuff. I'm like, why don't we recycle? And the boss is like, the company doesn't pay for it. And where we live, we have to pay for recycling.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? Like, that's insane. So, you know, we do that at home. And Anna's always funny because she'll bring me stuff and she'll be like, does this go in the sink to get washed for recycling or does this go in the garbage?
Aww.
I'm like, thank you for asking. I'm like, that goes in recycling. And walking down the street, you know, she's very pro-environment. We'll walk down the street. She sees litter. She'll pick it up and she'll be like, what is wrong with people?
That's awesome.
That's what we think every
like,
single
I don't
day.
Know,
yes.
Anna. We went down on the pier one day and we literally came back with our arms full of garbage. And both of us were just grumbling the whole way. And Anna's like, you know, Mom, if everyone just picked up one piece, we wouldn't have to do this.
It's
I'm like,
so
you're absolutely
true.
Right. Like, if everybody would just play their small part, it would be so much easier on the rest of us.
So we might have an environmental lawyer on our hands.
There you go.
Yes, that would be pretty great.
I love hearing you talk about your daughter and the way that you talk about people and the human race. And it's so refreshing to hear people because you get so bogged down by the media
mm-hmm.
and it's, we hate this person. We hate
yep.
this person. We
hate
these
group.
People.
Yep.
And this, you know, especially now as we're coming into the election year and everyone is just firing back and forth at each other about, we hate this group and we hate this group and I hate this person and this is bad. And so it's very refreshing to hear someone who is like, no, it's very few and far between that you can find. I mean, the people are out there.
It's kind of crazy that, you know, with our internet world, everybody kind of needs to have their own little celebrity, I think, where pre-internet, that it didn't exist, right? Mm-hmm. So it was very hard for, you know, a humble parent to come and tell their story to anyone other than within that small community. So now, and this is the impetus for the show, right? We have this voice, and we can come out and bring people in and say, look, this is an example of what parenting should look like. Mm-hmm. And for those of you who are struggling, these are the, yes, we all went through the same questions and thoughts and struggles, but this is how we got to where we got. And so if you can change your way of thinking, maybe we can get you on board too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Would you have any advice, or I don't know if advice is the right word, but anything?
What would you say to a parent who does not necessarily share your
and who is going view? Through the same thing that you went through, but is not quite as accepting and or is struggling? You mm-hmm. know, what would you recommend? I guess is a better word.
I think the only thing, when it really comes to parenting, I mean, the only thing you can say is everything is individualized. And you have to look at yourself and your family mm-hmm. and what works best for you, you know, and I mean, even as far as, you know, disciplinarian techniques and mm-hmm. all of that. And I think the one thing all of us parents can agree on is that the one thing we want for our children is to be happy.
Yes.
So sometimes we just need to slow down and listen to that small voice and what makes them happy. You know, it isn't necessarily their happiness isn't going to come through what makes us happy. I mean, I think about my parents and what they had pictured for me. I didn't follow the plan. It has been hard for them as well. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they want me to be happy. So over time, it took them a little while, but they got there.
Right.
And that's, I think if everybody just stops and really puts their child's happiness first, the rest of it will fall into place.
I think that's great.
Yep, absolutely. Well, really appreciate you taking some time out of your vacation to talk to us.
Oh, not a problem. It's actually, timing worked out great because the twins are out at the little gym and the dogs haven't seen anybody, so they're not So it's actually kind of quiet around here right now.
So, no, we really appreciate it. And if you ever want some support or you just want to talk about
things, we're here for you.
We're always here, so.
And we'd love to check in with you periodically.
Yeah.
See how things are going, and
feel free. I would love that.
Thank you so much.
What you're doing. We appreciate it. It's nice to know that support's out there.
Likewise.
Absolutely. When we come back, we're going to talk about another parent's story of how they handled their child's gender transition mm-hmm. in a very unique way. So stick around for that. We'll be right back. You're listening to Sarah Talk.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
The rocket launched into the air.
And then crashed into the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
I'll never forget that day, even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Sarah Talk. I'm Sarah Austin.
And I am Mandy Imus.
We're going to talk a little bit now about another parent's story of a child in transition and how they handled that in a kind of a unique way.
Yeah. So this happened in Australia, and it's kind of hitting social media pretty hard. It got posted on Tuesday.
And I don't know if this is the same one that I've seen before, but there might be another one like this.
This is the first one I have personally seen, and I just thought it was fantastic. The story is about a girl who was born in Australia in 1995, and her name was Elizabeth Ann. So the mom to Elizabeth Ann decided to take to the papers. They didn't expect the social media blowout that it's having now. All good. But she wanted to take to the papers to introduce her new son. Because when the baby was born in 1995, the baby was female. And as the baby, Elizabeth Ann, grew older, she started to identify as male mm-hmm. and then underwent the transition to become a male. In the birth section of their local paper, there was a retraction that read, "In 1995, we announced the arrival of our sprocket, Elizabeth Ann, as a daughter. He informs us that we were mistaken. Oops, our bad. We would now like to present our wonderful son, Kai Borgart. Loving you is the easiest thing in the world. Tidy your room.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And it's so, they've got a picture of him in the birth announcement that he looks like to date. Mm-hmm. So they're kind of taking this and telling all their family and all of their community, we had a daughter, but now we have a son, and mm-hmm. we want to celebrate our son just as much as we celebrated our daughter.
Yeah.
The way that she says, loving you is the easiest thing in the world, that's a great mom. It's a great mom to do that and support that son in their own way to make this announcement. And I think it's a really cool...
Yeah, it's a really, really neat way to,
creative,
to do that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The line about tidy your room speaks a lot to the, you're our child and we're going to love you no matter what. Just, you know, keep your room clean already, for crying out loud.
I think it went down to say something about that.
Be whoever you want to be, but my God, just clean your room.
They were both on some Australian, the Australian version of the Today Show. They were both on there. He kind of talks about that statement. First, the mother, Yolanda, says, the social media hype's gone crazy. But the moment itself wasn't very big. I just wanted to celebrate somehow. Kai, I believe is how he pronounces his name now, admitted that, contrary to his mother's order in the newspaper announcement, he hasn't tidied his room yet. But it's very funny, and it's about just being a normal family. No matter what sex your child was born or turned, you're still a normal family, so go tidy your room.
Absolutely.
And I love you with all my heart, and this is our family, so... There is a full interview if you go to, it's on BuzzFeed.com from December 2nd, and you can read the full interview there.
Yeah, I'll put a link up to it on the show notes.
They also ask him for advice for anyone else who wishes to make an announcement. And he said, wait for the right moment. Otherwise, the worst can happen. But remember, there's always people out there that will give you support. So do you feel like you had a right moment?
You know, I think a lot of that is... It speaks to, you got to build up a support group mm-hmm. of people that, while they may not know yet, that mm-hmm. you can tell will be supportive when that time comes.
Right.
So there is some groundwork that you do leading up to an announcement of something like that.
He said that he waited until he finished high school because mm-hmm. it would be extremely hard to explain it in a school setting.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't imagine coming out like when I was a kid in school. I couldn't possibly,
right.
especially in my little small town, podunk, Midwest town.
I like what you said earlier in our interview with Morgan, that you were tucking your child into bed and you wanted him to be the best person that he could be and be whoever he wants to be.
Yep.
And then you kind of looked in the mirror and are like, am I walking the talk?
Right.
To you, was that one of those moments?
That was a very defining moment, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because there was still, and still is, but those fears of how is this going to work out mm-hmm. if I do this, especially having a family, mm-hmm. you know? We're afraid that their kids are going to get bullied for it, mm-hmm. and just how are they going to handle that, and all of these things that you have to think about. Yeah, but, you know, at the same time, that I can't say and really mean it, you can be anything you want to be mm-hmm. when I'm not.
You love him, and he mm-hmm. loves you.
Yep,
and that's all that matters, you know, especially between your children or your wife or whoever.
And I'll tell you one thing that we're doing. Like, if I were to give anybody with children advice going through this, it's for such a long time, I was against the idea of therapy for anything. Mm-hmm. There's a stigma that comes along with, oh, that you're going to therapy, right?
Yeah.
And now I think everyone should go to therapy.
Right.
The benefit to it that I've for myself is just incredible. So with the troubles that we've been having with him in school and his behavior and all of that, part of our plan to address that, you know, we've looked down the medical route. Is there an ADHD thing that needs to be mm-hmm. mitigated, at least in the short term? But then also, he has a hard time. He's such an emotional kid, but he has a hard time explaining things sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's started going to therapy on his own just to kind of work through some of that mm-hmm. stuff,
help
to learn how
voice.
To talk and,
to
explain how he's feeling and what he's thinking.
Mm-hmm.
One of my friends said, her son, who's six, I think now, that he can tell you, he can look at a Pokemon card and tell you whether he has it or not. And there's hundreds, you know, of Pokemon.
Sure. I'll take your word for it.
But if you ask, what did you have for lunch at school yesterday? I don't know. So we get a lot of that I don't know from him. And so hopefully this, but the benefit that I think, another one of those aha moments for me was, we're building rapport with another person
mm-hmm.
and the therapist does happen to be male. And he's going to need another male in his life to talk to about things.
Right.
And what a better person to have be that than someone who is a mental health professional.
Right.
So when he does need to talk to things and he doesn't feel comfortable coming to me, then
he has another outlet.
He has somebody else he can talk to. And it destigmatizes therapy. If it's just something he's always done his whole life, then it's just no big deal.
Right.
And I, you know, I think that will make it easier for him to reach out to someone in that field when he does feel like he needs help.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do want to share one thing before we go. It's going to be real quick. And then we're going to be out of here for the day. But if you are interested in learning more about gender nonconforming children, and I'm trying to get her on the show, Lori Duron is the author of Raising My Rainbow. And she has a son who is gender nonconforming. Defines himself as a boy, but he likes girl stuff, real big into Monster High, sparkly, you know, girl clothes and all of that. And so she also does a blog that's raisingmyrainbow.com. And the blog is pretty funny. She's a good writer. So if you're, you know, interested to see another family like Morgan's who is doing the right thing and really supporting their child, I would definitely go check out Lori Duron and Raising My Rainbow.
If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to us on Facebook or Twitter or the website and let us know. And if you want us to cover a topic or you want to call in and tell a story yourself.
Absolutely. The purpose of the show here is really to give a forum for people to tell their stories and to help people find understanding and acceptance.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Sarah Talk.